Hello, hello, hello. This is Freedom coming in from Freedom's Prayer Closet, and I am so excited to be with you one more time. And I am trying to step up my game in the realm of podcast and podcasting. And so you may hear a little sound effect or two as we go along with this podcast. I am so excited to be in a prayer room with you today because where God is, there is liberty. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is peace. I love having peace and I love having joy. I wanted to talk to you today about a topic that has come up in my heart lately. And then I ran into this book. It's a book I've been reading by, let's see, who's the author name? These days, people don't really care about authors, just the contents of the book. Here it is. It's Gregory L. Janse, PhD, with Keith Wall. And it's called How to Deal with Toxic People. How to Deal with Toxic People. So, I'm just looking at the... but I'm reading the book and I am very excited about the book. I am gonna see how far I can get with you, with the book. And, let's read chapter one and let's kind of analyze chapter one, see if it's a good book. Let's, look at chapter one. It says, the many types of toxic people. Your boss takes full credit for a proposal you labored over for weeks and that represented your finest work. Your spouse belittles you in public, humiliating and infuriating you again. Your neighbor covers for your teenager who had a run-in with the law because she knew you would overreact. Your mother calls to offer support, but leaves you feeling criticized and controlled instead. Your friend posts unflattering photos of you on social media because they're funny. Not funny to you, though. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar to you? If so, you are in the grips of a toxic person. Call them by any other name, crazy makers, troublemakers, instigators. These people know how to poison situations and relationships, stirring up discord and disarray. Toxic people come in a wide variety of forms and degrees of severity. Some are mildly irritating, while others are extremely abusive. It would be impossible to describe all types of toxic people, but let's look at the most common among them. You will surely recognize qualities and behaviors that you have unfortunately encountered in your own life. So let's look at this. Okay, toxic people. Let's see where we're headed. All right, so it says deceiver. That's one type of toxic person, the deceiver. Lies destroy a crucial component of any relationship, trust. Once you catch a whiff of deceit in the air, look out. Sure, it could be an isolated incident or a half-truth that might be forgiven and forgotten, but usually it's a sign of trouble. A person's need to lie is a telling clue about his or her character and emotional health. It may indicate serious insecurity, lack of integrity, or flimsy moral standards. If dishonesty shows up in a relationship once, it will likely show up again. Here's a sobering fact of life. If someone is willing to lie to you once, he or she is likely to do it again. People willing to lie in one situation or with one person will find it easy to lie in other contexts. A person who shades the truth with others will be inclined to be dishonest with you as well. A lie rarely appears out of nowhere. It's part of a larger deceptive context. Nice. Okay, so let's think about this. Have you ever had a friend? And I can, as I'm reading this passage called Deceiver, yeah, I've had friends like that where it almost hurts them to tell the truth. You ever have a friend like that or relative where you just know you don't even want to talk to them too long because you know it's just going to be a bunch of baloney and a waste of your time? And it's like it hurts them to tell the truth. It's like telling the truth will tear away at their very souls. They also put a scripture up from the Bible, Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. That is so, so true. If I can't even trust you to pick up the newspaper for me while I go away, then how can I trust you to park my car? How can I trust you to take my money to the bank? How can I trust you with my children? How can I trust you around my husband? How can I trust you to feed my pet? It's those kind of things. If I can't trust you to check my mail without going in it, how can I trust you with bigger things, right? Right? Let me know what you think about that. I mean, that is something else where some friends, it's just, you just never know how they're going to curve the ball. Some friends or family members just like, it just hurts them to tell the truth. So let's see what else they have. A lie rarely appears out of nowhere. It's part of a larger deceptive context. If someone is dishonest, you'll naturally wonder about the ulterior motives. If you feel closed out to certain aspects of a person's life, you have to wonder what's behind those sealed off areas. That is so true. I work with someone that just always makes an excuse for why they're out. They always make an excuse for why they're late. They're always making excuse. And God forbid you ask them, oh, you sick? You feeling better? They're so closed up and so guarded. It's like, what are you hiding? Secrets arouse suspicion, and often for good reason. A person who tells lies must work hard to keep track of what he has said and to whom. When the details of a story don't add up or keep changing over time, it may be a sign that you're not getting the straight scoop. So true. Here's the truth about deceivers. They create mistrust, chaos, and uncertainty. Okay, so do you want to be around a deceiver? How many of you want to be around deceivers? Raise your hand. I know I don't. I don't want to be around a deceiver because it takes too much energy. It's draining. And when your energy is being drained, then you have very little energy to give to God. You have very little energy to give to your family. So how about you just not be around deceivers? How about you just not be around those people that drain your energy because it's so difficult to be their friend? It's so difficult to be in a relationship with them. You guys, I'm sure, know exactly what this book is talking about, what I'm talking about. The fact that, you know, a deceiver, they always need someone to deceive. So they're not going to go around those who call them out all the time. They are going to cling on to those who entertain their deceptions or truly become deceived by them. So I would say watch out for that. Watch out for that. And let's read one more type of toxic person. Let's see. Okay, so the control freak. Uh-oh. When you hear the words control freak, you probably have the image of a specific person pop into your mind. A parent, boss, roommate, spouse, or a friend. Whoever it is in your life, you bear the brunt of someone who is upright, judgmental, and invasive. These are the people who meddle in your business, tell you how to do things, and hold you to impossible standards. They are quick to point out your shortcomings and always have the right answer, allegedly. They always want to win the argument and have the last word. They know what's best for you and how you should do things differently. Here are a few primary characteristics of these controllers. Even if you give the controller what he or she wants to make him or her happy, that doesn't mean the bossy behavior will subside. Playing along to get the person off your back rarely works. The controlling person may like you or praise you for doing what she or he wants, but that's much different from respecting you. Controllers drain your energy and determine and undermine your sense of self-worth. With them, you must take extra measures to preserve your physical and emotional energy. Controllers want power, undue influence over you, and permission to bully you. When you give in to them, you give up peace of mind, independence, and self-respect. Even as they are engaged in toxic controlling behavior, they will often deny that control is their ultimate objective. Their words and behaviors are couched as wanting to be helpful or being for your own good, but really is their conduct actually helpful or good for you? Oh my God, this is something else. How many of you have had scenarios with control freaks? And usually when you think about a control freak, it's more light. It's like, oh, someone wanting to clean a certain way, or someone wanting to drive in a certain direction, meaning, you know, there's multiple routes and they insist on taking the opposite route that you would like to take. But it gets deeper than that. It gets deeper, and it's borderline narcissistic. You have to really be watchful over those people who want to kind of eat you up, kind of devour you into making you them. And a lot of this comes from their own trauma and from their own hurts and pains. And you see this in a lot of relationships, especially some traditional relationships, where people are incorrectly kind of misquoting the Bible, or saying that, you know, the man is the head, so he needs to boss the woman around. No, there's a difference. There's a difference between being a provider, being a leader, and being abusive. And so not just in romantic relationships, but any kind of relationships where someone just won't let you breathe. You ever feel like that, where you just can't get a breath? It's like, whoa, can you get off my back? And you got to re-examine those kind of relationships. Sometimes it's hard to separate from those relationships, because maybe it might be a work scenario where that person is over you. Or maybe it may be, you know, in a family scenario where maybe you guys live in the same household. But whatever it is, what this book is saying, and again, the name of this book is How to Deal with Toxic People. What this book is saying is that no matter how much you give in, there will never be like a limit. There will never be like a level ground that you reach where you can like breathe. That person will just keep on, because they feed off of the ability to feel like they are dominating you. And so, again, this is unhealthy. This is obviously coming from a place of trauma from the person. and to feel like they have to rule over someone. Maybe they grew up in a household where they feel like they have to rule over someone, or maybe, you know, someone has abused them and ruled over them most of their life, and so that's all they know to do. In any case, that's not yours to take on. And so what you have to do is resist it. You got to resist it physically and resist it in the spirit. What you do is go and pray. You pray for that person. You pray for that person. Prayer is power. God said you have not because you ask not. So if you don't pray, if you don't connect with the spiritual hands of God, how can he move another person? And I know it's pretty popular in the world to say people can't change, but I don't believe that. People can change. People can change. People can kick their addictions. People can kick their lifestyles, change their lifestyles. I've seen it over and over again. And it just starts with a willingness. The only thing that is really true and popular is that if the person is not willing to, then it's hard to change them. You can't change them. Change have to come from inside. So change comes from inside of that person. You can guide them, you can direct them, you can advise them, you can provide wisdom, you can provide knowledge, but unless that person is ready to receive all of those resources, then it's a moot point. And so at that point, you have to decide whether you want to continue to be a part of a toxic environment, a toxic relationship, or if you want to believe God to elevate you to the next level. Okay, so that is awesome. Clip of toxic people. We'll be getting back to some of these topics. I want to share some more with you in this book. Let me know if this is helping you. Don't forget to like and share and subscribe. Like, share, and subscribe. That's how you're helping me to, or encouraging me to continue on. So like, share, and describe, or describe. Like, share, and subscribe. Again, this is Freedom coming in from Freedom's Prayer Closet. And let us close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are a mighty God. You are amazing and altogether lovely. We hold your hands, Lord Jesus. We hold your hands because your hands give us perfect peace. Your hands give us perfect love. Your hands show us a way. Your hands give us mercy and grace, Lord. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you that you are everlasting God and you gave us everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed his blood for us. And we are eternally grateful in your precious holy name. Amen.